Good morning, church. To all the fathers of our congregation, happy Father's Day. It's been an eventful week at our church. We had an awesome VBS with 35 children and 40 volunteers this week. And wasn't it a blessing? Two to one ratio. What a blessing it was to have them lead us into praise today. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Jen preached on the previous chapter of 2 Corinthians. He challenged us to remember Apostle Paul's words, that our home is in heaven and not of this world. Our life on earth is temporary, but our life in heaven with God will be eternal. So we should not be concerned with making this earth a permanent home and seek worldly achievement, wealth, and status, but to live more faithfully into the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ with humility and confidence. When we have the perspective that we essentially own nothing in this world and that we are here on earth temporarily, we can focus on what really matters according to God's kingdom. I believe that this word is so essential to us today as it was for the Corinthians 2,000 years ago. In the second half of chapter 5, Apostle Paul continues to encourage the Corinthian congregation to understand that they are a new creation and that they are entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And this leads to our text today in chapter 6, where Paul boasts about the immense hardships that he and his companions in ministry have persevered through faith in God for the sake of others. This week was a shocking and heartbreaking one for all of us. We witnessed Dylan Roof's horrific shooting of 9 church members at the historic Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. May we continue to pray for this congregation, community, and families of victims that suffer tragic loss of their loved ones. May God comfort them in their grief and guide them through this horrible violence driven by racial hatred. May God also comfort our nation as we grieve together and pray for God's healing and reformation in a time such as this. I believe that this letter by Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, calling people to action, was not all that different from today. Paul rebukes the conflicted congregation for not understanding God's grace, even after all the preaching that he has done, talking about loving one another. He's basically saying to them, don't you get it? How many times do we have to exemplify God's grace to you and show you how to be faithful? He refers to Isaiah 49:8, which says, in a time of favor, I have answered you. On a day of salvation, I have helped you. And then he says, see, now is an acceptable time. See, now is a day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. The exploitation endured by Paul and his companions under the Roman Empire and their social movement against injustice reflects what is going on in our time, in our country, with the oppressive systems that exploit minorities and favor the white and wealthy. It is truly a frightening time we live in, when a person can be shot on the street because he or she is African American. Black Lives Matter claims that every 28 hours, a black man, woman, or child is murdered by police or vigilante law enforcement. In referring to the Charleston shooting, our president said this week, racism remains a blight that we have to combat together. You don't see murder on this kind of scale with this kind of frequency in any other advanced nation on earth. And he urgently called for bolstering gun control laws. Gun control laws are surely needed, but the more urgent focus should be addressing the deeper issue of historic racism, rooted in the ideology of white supremacy. Unless we address it and confess it, we cannot even enter into a time of healing and reconciliation. Another disheartening aspect of the media's portrayal is that a white male that harms another person is seen as mentally ill due to troubled upbringing. But when it's a black male that harms another person, he's quickly stereotyped as a thug, criminal, or terrorist. How is it that a white male could cause such horrific tragedy but be seen as a victim of mental illness, while a black male is automatically criminalized from the start? One news channel was also in complete denial of this and claimed that this incident was attack on faith. Seriously? It was so apparent. Even Dylan, the perpetrator himself, confessed to the authorities that he was planning to start a race war in the U.S. As we look at the world around us, and even in the light of the recent conclusion of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Canada over the cultural genocide of the Aboriginals throughout its history, I hope that our country one day also wakes up from its stupor and learn from this model of sincere confession, repentance, and honest dialogue. Apostle Paul was also calling the early Corinthian church to honest dialogue and repentance. He says that they need to follow their examples of truthful speech and reliance on the power of God. He goes on to say in verses 7 through 10, whether in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are servants of Jesus. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We also talk a lot about persevering and being resilient in our congregation. I believe that to persevere and to be resilient essentially means to have faith in God. It means believing that God will take care of us, heal us, and lead us to serve one another. Also, we may think that being resilient is about how we overcome with our own skills or our own talents, but we forget that we are resilient through faith in God, who gives us the patience, knowledge, and power to overcome, as Paul mentioned in verses 6 and 7. Furthermore, Paul and his ministry companions did not just pass down spiritual knowledge, like the Gnostics believed, or superior wisdom to the early church, but they demonstrated a model of authority based upon willingness to surrender comfort, security, and status in order to advocate for others. Also, instead of seeing themselves as victims of abusive powers and systems, they overcame the immense hardships, planted new churches all around the Roman provinces of the Mediterranean, and unceasingly offered coaching and guidance to new believers. Like Paul and his companions, how can we move away from seeking worldly achievement, power, and wealth in order to live more faithfully into the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ? How can we as individuals and as a congregation learn to advocate for others? The great aspect of Church of All Nations is that we provide so many opportunities to serve as well as to receive. As a staff member, I have to say how much I've appreciated the love and care that we have received from you all over the past 8 months. Being back here after 6 years of full-time ministry has been a great time of healing for our family. And through CAN, Tao and I are slowly seeing ourselves as overcomers rather than as victims of Young Nak, whose session was childish in their faith and seriously limited in their understanding of what God's church is. They just could not come to understand that God's church can be a welcoming place beyond people of their own Korean culture. Also, serving at CAN has been meaningful as it is not primarily focused on increasing the number of members or how effectively we can develop ministry programs to outdo the church next door. CAN is about caring for the person and the overall well-being of that person. We are taught here that unless we are whole, or at least on the journey to being whole, we are not able to effectively engage the world with compassion. Nonetheless, if I can say that there is a weakness to being part of a nurturing congregation like CAN, it is complacency. Instead of risking ourselves to engage the world filled with hate, greed, and abuse of power, we may want to set up camp and surround ourselves with people and communities that we are comfortable with. We see that throughout scriptures, commendable servants of God were always stretched to grow further in their service to God and one another. As they encountered hardship in the world, they came to experience God's grace, rest, and healing. Yet receiving healing was never the end goal. God's servants are healed so that they can advocate for others, especially for those that are oppressed, powerless, and marginalized. Our culture is obsessed with self-preservation and security, but as servants of Jesus, we are called to lay our life down for the sake of God and for the sake of others. Otherwise, our healing is useless, and we are not being faithful to God. As God used Apostle Paul to urgently call the Corinthian church to action, God is urgently calling us today to advocate for our African American brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We have to see through all the nonsense and see the evil of racism for what it truly is. Childishness and foolishness of the oppressive system for what it is. Apostle Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians that God made foolish the wisdom of the world. Then he says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. God will use us to shame the strong and the powerful. God used a small hometown boy of Nazareth, where nothing good can come from, to overturn the religious and political powers of the day to bring salvation to the whole world. Jesus was betrayed by his own people and exploited, beaten, traumatized, and falsely accused by the empire. Yet he did not have a victim mentality as he was crucified on the cross. Jesus was also traumatized, but he broke through that trauma and came out on the other side with God. And he pleaded with God, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even to the point of his immense suffering and death, he advocated for others. As we can see through our Lord Jesus Christ, God is for the poor, the broken, the weak, and the underprivileged, because he cares for each of his creation. Jesus reminds his disciples in Mark 8, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, all the power, money, and fame, yet forfeit the soul? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Beloved church, in this time, may we walk in solidarity with one another and with our African American brothers and sisters in Christ. May we protest against this evil racism, seek to unite with other congregations, support organizations like the Black Lives Matter and Isaiah to advocate for just laws and equity for all of God's people. It's not enough to just take care of my family, to just take care of myself, but to show compassion to our suffering brothers and sisters in need. May we remember the great African word, Ubuntu. It means your humanity is bound up in my humanity, or I am because we are. Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu explains Ubuntu like this. One of the sayings in our country of South Africa is Ubuntu, the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. We think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals separated from one another, whereas you are connected, and what you do affects the whole world. When you do it well, it spreads out. It is for the whole of humanity. At the end of our text today, Paul says, "We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, our love for you, our care for you, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children." He patronizes them. "You are like children that still do not know how to love. So open wide your hearts also." May we open wide our hearts to receive this word of God and apply it to our life as commendable servants of God. May we be nurtured in this congregation, not just for our sake or for our family's sake, but to be true advocates for others that are suffering. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us to your house of worship today. We, at this time, lift up our brothers and sisters in Charleston, South Carolina, that are suffering from this immense tragedy and the incredible loss of their loved ones. Only you know why hate would run so deep that it would cause one of your creations to kill others you have formed. As Apostle Paul urgently called the Corinthian congregation to action, we're also urgently called to action as we address the evil of racism, advocate for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and continue to fight for justice against the oppressive systems of this world. Give us the strength, the wisdom, and the guidance to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.